This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to This Day in History, a podcast dedicated to examining history from a standpoint of determining which event on any given day had the greatest impact on our lives. Now your host, Tony Hubert and Armand Kachigian.
Folks, we are back. Here we are, March 6th, This Day in History on lineupmedia.fm. Tony Hubert and my co-host, Armand Kachigian, bringing you the events, the saucy topics, the things that, affect the world you live in today the most, plus who was born, who died, and wherever the tangents may lead us.
We're trying to make you better people. Thinkers.
Yes.
Deep thinkers.
Think for yourselves, and listen then, up, and learn something.
Right. And then we throw in a little sex.
A little, just for flavor.
A soupçon of sex.
I am really thinking about
There's no sex today. I don't see anything sexy. Oh, I do. I got a pretty good one. Okay, go ahead.
No, hold on. All right. Hold on. Let me look. I'm looking.
I have a story. You don't even. I don't know if you even put him on here. As usual, you neglected him.
Yes, I have something that I'm going to tie into sex.
All right, you do your sex and I'll do mine.
Okay, I've got something. I think it's important. A lot of guys over the past century have done this on a daily basis.
Oh, one of them, huh? I didn't this morning.
No.
I didn't have time.
Nope. Stop right there. I'll get to it.
All right, let's go.
But I got to tell you, in 1820, Armand, that Missouri Compromise deal.
Yeah,
what
Henry
a compromise.
Clay. Yeah, Henry Clay did it.
It gets signed into law on this day, March the 6th, by President James Monroe. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with the Missouri Compromise. Missouri comes in as
conversant, yes.
a slave state. Maine comes in as a free state. Like Maine is going to come in any other way. Like there was an option.
Yeah. Well, you're missing the point. It's just to keep them free and enslaved 12-12. We're tied. We're going in overtime.
Yeah.
So that was the whole point.
And
I think it was 36 something degrees was the no more slavery north
above
of 36
that.
Something.
Yeah.
Not the 38th parallel.
No, because then Korea, you get all the slaves you want in North Korea.
Yeah, that's a little different.
Just 2 degrees of separation. See what happens? But anyway, the free state of Maine, the slave state of Missouri. So the rest of the northern part of the Louisiana Purchase is going to be slavery free.
Well, that's what you think. We have something else today we're going to talk about.
Yeah, supposed to be. Right. That's what's supposed to happen on this date. Right. 1820.
Well, here again, we put off the Civil War for a few years, so I guess it was good.
Kicked the can down the road.
Yep.
1836, the Battle of the Alamo. Well, the 13 days.
Speaking of slavery, this was all fought to save slavery. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Texas was fighting.
They're not fighting
for their independence. They're fighting because the Mexicans didn't want them to have slaves.
They're fighting for their economic advantage.
They're fighting for slavery. I don't know. I assume our listeners know that. We have very.
I'm about to piss a whole bunch of Texans off.
We have there's no. I mean, it's the truth.
I think this whole Alamo thing is one of the biggest shams ever.
Oh, no, I don't know about that. Apparently, they fought pretty bravely.
No. You can fight brave and all this.
What's the sham?
It doesn't mean you're.
Didn't you see the Duke? I mean, he fought to the death.
If the Duke don't know what the hell he's fighting for, it doesn't really matter. Well, yeah, he can fight bravely. I can go out in the street right now and fight bravely and get my ass kicked. And I can be supporting a ridiculous cause that I'm not even really aware of.
Oh.
Doesn't mean I wasn't brave.
That was rather voluble.
Thank you, I think.
Yeah, I haven't seen you this worked up since we talked about Marge Schott.
Jeez. That was only last week.
Damn, yeah.
Well, the 13-day, the siege, the 3,000 Mexican troops, the 187 Texas volunteers.
That's true. Now, apparently, though, they were captured and they were tortured to death. Yeah. Now, that's where things...
And
they gave a pretty good acquittal of themselves because they acquitted themselves well and pretty much took their torture silently, no complaints, and just,
That's rough.
Davy Crockett, that's what happened to him. So he was no coward.
Yeah, well, you got Crockett, you got
Bowie. For a while, I read that he was a coward. He died a coward's death begging for his life, and that is not true, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll never know, though.
Well, the Mexican that wrote the book, the guy named Pieta or whatever, who said he was there.
He's a first-hand account?
Yeah.
Good.
They surrendered, but then Santa Anna and all his munificence, tortured them to death.
So the 3,000 Mexicans, they get the Fort Alamo.
Right.
And
but this was...
That ends it. 13 days. And then...
We got them back.
Basically, the phrase, remember the Alamo, probably started not too long thereafter. 1857, the Supreme Court of the United States is a big one. Big one.
Everything's slavery day today.
I know, it is. It just worked out that way. But on March 6th, the Dred Scott versus Sanford case is ruled on.
Yep.
Dred Scott case held at the old courthouse.
Yeah.
Now, not the Supreme Court case, of course.
No.
Held at the old courthouse in downtown St. Louis, Missouri. Most Americans have seen the old courthouse in downtown St. Louis, Missouri. If you've ever seen a picture of the Gateway Arch, it's the nice-looking green-domed building between the legs of the arch.
Right.
It doesn't actually sit between the legs. It sits a couple blocks back. But that's where it was. And school kids in Missouri go to the courthouse and basically daily do reenactments of the Dred Scott case by doing the readings from the trial.
Yeah, Judge Taney, I guess, when it went to Supreme Court. This Dred Scott was a slave his owner took him north. It was a doctor, I believe, took him north, married some gal. That's the Sanford. The doctor's name was Brown? I didn't look this up. It's been a while since I read on this.
The doctor's name is Sanford because he is named.
Okay. All right.
He is the defendant
maybe she's Brown.
In the case.
Right.
Scott is the plaintiff.
No, she is. The widow. The doctor dies, I think. The widow still wants him.
Jeez.
Because he was his slave, and then he married this woman, and now you're my slave. And I think that was what he's saying. I'm not your slave. My owner died.
But then you get into the property argument that was used by the courts.
Say it's not property. He's not a citizen, so he has no rights. That's what Taney and that he held up at your beloved Supreme Court. I still don't know where you stand on that, but anyway, the liberals' beloved Supreme Court.
Come on now.
People that put all the Japanese in internment camps. That Supreme Court.
Yeah. Okay, the Supreme Court that one half of this country is salivating to get one more justice on.
I didn't say it's good. I'd rather have them conservative than liberal, but still, it's not good.
So that they can overturn.
They have too much power.
Armand, no disagreement.
Well, what are we going to do about it?
This whole damn thing is about one issue.
What issue?
It's abortion.
Oh, it is.
Yes, it is.
Who cares?
For a majority of conservative voters concerned about the Supreme Court, the one thing they're concerned about is Roe v. Wade.
Okay.
That's it. It is a single issue thing.
That is literally life and death. Now, it's not a big issue for me, but it is a life and death issue.
No, and I understand it's an emotional issue, but
it is a
single...
What do you want to do about toilet, transgender toilets?
It's a single issue. It's a single issue.
A lot of
issue.
People vote on single issues.
Then they're dumb.
Gun control.
Then they're dumb.
You're calling our listeners dumb.
If you're voting
how smart they were.
If you're voting as a single issue, you really need to step back.
The whole country listens to us.
You need to step back.
You know how many listeners we've got?
Thousands.
Millions.
Really?
Millions.
I didn't know that much. That's right. I thought I was in thousands.
No. See, you don't know anything about demographics.
Most people couldn't tell you what the hell the Supreme Court.
Well, yeah.
But they could tell.
They still have too much power.
We'll get Roe v. Wade versus overturned. Here's the thing. You don't know that. Throw another conservative judge on there. You don't know that'll happen. They thought that was going to happen with the repeal of the affordable.
Why is the Supreme Court looking at that anyway? It has nothing to do with constitutionality. We're talking about that. That is a states' rights issue.
That's another question.
Yeah. It's a big question.
It's another question.
Well, I think most people say that.
And if you think for a second that you're going to get abortion outlawed in this country, you're smoking crack.
Oh, you never know.
It's going to be a states' right issue. The president that you elected said it's going to be a states' right issue. He said
he did?
It. Yes, he did. He said it clear as day in the debates.
I think it was the first or second debate.
Said it clear as day. And if you want to prevent women from having abortions as a means of birth control, you're not going to succeed. You've already lost. They'll simply cross a state line.
I don't think that's the issue, though.
The issue is when does
the fetus have rights? That's the issue, to me anyway. Now, I'm not saying a glob, like the blastula and all that stuff, or the gastrula and all that's a human being. But at 20 weeks...
Oh, to me, it's unconscionable.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think that's what most people say.
But here's the thing. Most liberals say that.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
I have never met a liberal. It's like the gun control.
I have never met a liberal that is all.
They don't want any laws against gun control. Most of the crazies about abortion, up to and including almost the birth, you have the right to abort the baby.
The law is written.
Yeah,
that doesn't mean that doesn't
that's
mean
what's
they're
getting people all fervid here.
That doesn't mean they're
me
for
included.
It. That doesn't mean they're
for it. I don't think anybody's for abortion.
That's what I'm saying.
But we're not for the right to have an abortion either. There has to be some kind of limit.
The
20 weeks. I think that's
but
reasonable.
Then,
but
then
you know the pro-choice people will never go for that because that's giving. They're not going to give an inch. Just like the gun control people don't want to give an inch.
No, they're never going to give an inch
right.
either. Mentally ill can now go buy a gun.
Don't limit us. The abortion people are the same way. They're just because the problem is if they give up anything, then they're giving it's too much. Because you're going to want more. And they may have a point there. I don't know. But to me, it's reasonable that 20 weeks or 18 or whatever, it's a human being at
this
point.
And it has rights. The best argument, and it's, no, I, it's a...
That's the question.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Okay.
The problem...
That's my opinion, I don't know, for what it's
worth. No, it's a good opinion. But the problem is, how come I can't negotiate you down to 19 weeks, 18 weeks,
well,
17?
Yeah. It's arbitrary, isn't it? Yeah. I agree.
My only message
But somebody can.
My only message is, if you're one of these fervent anti-abortion people, okay, and I'm not even going to get into the other aspects of it, like you don't give a damn after the kid's born.
Well, that's a different issue, but when is it a child?
Scientifically, I'll answer this question.
Okay, well, it's hard.
As soon as it implants in the placenta.
Well, that's pretty early.
That's early.
Okay.
But you're on your way from that point.
Well, then
because
there's not going to be any abortions.
Here's what you don't know, though. You don't know how many fertilized eggs are passed through without implanting into the uterine wall. You don't know it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why you would think that somebody, an embryologist or something, could give us a scientific – I don't know. Is it when the heart starts beating? I don't know.
I can't answer it either.
Not the pro-abortions, because that's not what they are. They're not. But the pro-choice people really are adamant about not limiting rights at all.
Because
even late trimester abortion,
I'm not going to defend
that.
That's
what I'm saying.
But I'm going to tell you the argument put forth
is
because
this, anyway?
Because it's a
Dred
because
Scott
because
about.
It gets because like all cases that can't get resolved in the district court. Or in the appellate court.
Yeah. Oh, we're talking about the Supreme Court.
It gets knocked up to the Supreme Court.
Some of the stuff shouldn't be in any court.
And the Supreme Court, you got to admit, Armand, does a decent job of knocking cases back, saying, no, we're not hearing that.
Well, I don't know about that.
Look at what they turn away.
Look at what they took. I mean, the transgender bathrooms and things. What does that have to do with constitutionality? Who are you denying a right? Is that right to go to a bathroom? They take whatever they feel like, and they're out of control. That's my opinion. Supreme Court
and
Dred Scott paid the price.
He sure did.
Although he did eventually get his free. You know, like her, the I think the original doctor that owned him, his brother, bought his freedom finally, and then like 8 months later he died. You know, so but his widow, who was also I forget Harriet, I think her name was Harriet Scott. His wife was also included in this too, because whatever applied to him applied to her too. And she got her freedom, and she lived, fortunately, for quite a while. Because he bought them from the wife.
Right.
Sanford. Sanford's the wife, I believe. It was Dr. Brown, I think his name was. And her name was such and such.
Well, you know, Dred Scott was born in 1795.
Yeah. He died. I mean, he was getting pretty old. This took 10 years.
Oh, it did. No,
he was fighting this forever.
I want to say the district case is heard as early as 1845.
Yeah, because he went up to Minnesota. He's all over the place, this guy. Then he went to Missouri. And anyway, it's an interesting. If you got a book about it, I'm sure they're playing. I've never read any books about this, but it's an interesting case.
It sure is.
Okay. But anyway, it's too bad. He got his freedom and dropped dead.
Well, it's horrible in that regard. Because it's just like the guy retires and a month later it passes away, doesn't get to enjoy
well,
the fruits
happens.
Of, you know.
Well, I don't know. Fruits of his old age. And
no, just the fruits of being actually free. For once.
Hey, what, it was spoken like a true Marxist. I thought work makes you free.
No, it doesn't.
Oh,
no.
You're not a Marxist.
No, never have been. 1869.
Speaking
of Marxism.
Fascist. Okay.
Dmitry Mendeleev.
Mendeleev. Yes.
I'm pissed about this one. I'll tell you
why.
Who
are you?
Well, the Russians beat us again. So he presents the first periodic table to the Russian
first
Chemical Society. Really? The Russians got this first?
Yeah, they did.
Damn. They get everything. Well, they didn't get the moon.
It was before the communists. They were good.
No,
it's
true.
These were good Russians.
Yeah, these were
under czars.
These are the imperial Russians.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they're the good guys, the imperial ones.
This was a good one.
They never wronged anybody.
Well, they were no worse than anybody else in Europe at the time.
No, actually, they're just another monarchy.
Anyway, yeah, check out the period. I think somebody wrote an interesting book about this. Look up Mendeleev and periodic table.
Yeah, take it to Amazon.com, folks. Go to This Day in Podcast, This Day in History Podcast.com.
So, you know, a lot of these elements that he put in the periodic table hadn't been developed, hadn't even been discovered yet.
He was just saying there's got to be.
There should be an element here. Yeah, a little.
I love that.
Yeah, that, you know.
Well, isn't that like the guy?
The
isn't that
little.
How we basically found a couple of the planets? Like,
well,
there should be a planet here.
Yeah. Well, Uranus was found that way.
It was
a telescope,
okay.
And then what's his name? Galle, figured. Hey, wait a minute. There's perturbations in Uranus's
orbit.
Yeah, thank
or,
you.
Not an orbit.
Orbit around the sun.
What's it called though? It's a trans.
I don't know.
Transolar. It's got some fancy word other than orbit.
I think it is orbit. I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, there are perturbations in it or whatever, and then of course that's how they found Pluto too.
Something was pulling.
That's not
on
a planet.
It.
Yes, it's tugging.
Tugging on it. Yeah, yeah. There
Laws
you go.
Laws of gravity.
All right, now.
Which caused climate change, by the way?
Sure. Whatever you say.
Not global warming. Not CO2.
Here's our sex one for
have
the day.
Have the Supreme Court rule on that, will you?
No, I don't need to. It's not a constitutional issue.
Uh-oh. Well, thank you.
Yeah. That's clear
it's
as day.
It's not a scientific issue anymore either. It's religion.
1899? You know, you asked
me. Pronounce it correctly.
I say buyer.
Correct. That's correct. It is buyer.
Everyone in America says bear. But in Germany, it is buyer.
It's buyer.
And
good.
Bavaria is Bayern. You have Bayer and Bayern.
Yes.
Which is the great soccer team, Bayern Munich.
I knew that was coming.
And you also have Bayer Leverkusen.
Yes.
Which is Bayer's spot.
I have to insert sex in everything. You have to insert soccer in there.
Well, and here comes soccer and sex because Bayer registers aspirin as a trademark. And you know how many men take an aspirin every morning to keep.
It's not a trademark anymore. They ruled on that.
And so how long do you, I mean.
Acetyl salicylic acid. It's from a willow tree.
Acid.
The bark of a willow tree.
Well, aspirin has done wonders for men, regulating their heart, letting them enjoy some amorous company.
It'd be about
without
time for you
having
to take a baby. Have you had your heart checked lately? How old are you now?
A check 3 years ago. Doing well. And my cholesterol, surprisingly low.
Man, that's bullshit anyway.
Is it?
Cholesterol stuff. I don't believe that stuff.
There's good and bad, they say.
That's bullshit, too.
Okay.
Check out your.
Lipids?
No, the lipids, not even. It's.
I'm more concerned about my cardiac muscle, to be honest. Well, that's what it's all about,
to
right?
Work out.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's more inflammation is what you're. You know, C-reactive protein. That's the big one. Now they found CRP.
Okay. Yep. 1902, Real Madrid.
Real, right? Isn't it? Is that? I don't know.
It means royal in Spanish.
Well, okay. How do you pronounce it?
Real.
All right. Real Madrid.
You'll catch a lot of people. Real Madrid. No. Real.
What is the river that flows through Madrid?
Oh, I forget.
Smart guy.
Yeah, I forget.
The Manzanares.
Manzanares, the river of apples?
Is that what it's called? Is it really?
Well, manzanas are apples.
Oh. Well, Manzanares.
I don't know that Manzanares are necessarily apples. Yeah.
I don't know. What is Reyes? R-E-S. Is it red apples?
No. Well, that would be Manzanas Rojos.
Oh, okay. Well, that's the river.
I mean, by the way, the red apple's also the cigarette brand on Quentin Tarantino films.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And it's not, I don't think that's true. It's always 4:20 on the clocks. Did you see that? That's not true. I was looking at it. I was watching Pulp Fiction.
I don't think it's
don't
always
think
4:20, yeah. But I think a 4:20 clock comes in at some point.
Yeah, maybe, but that's...
I don't think it's always...
That's what some trivia question. Every clock in Pulp Fiction is 4:20. I don't think that's true.
Yeah. That's a good one, though.
Go get the Gimp and ask him.
Yeah, we'll see what the...
The Gimp lived.
The Gimp don't know
They didn't
what,
kill the Gimp, did they? I don't think they punched him out, but he didn't kill the Gimp.
Yeah, I don't know if they actually killed
the Gimp. He killed Zed and the other guy.
Well, Zed's dead, baby.
Zed's dead.
Yeah. Zed's dead.
Where'd you get the motorcycle?
Zed.
It's a chopper, baby.
It's a chopper.
Okay.
Whose chopper is this?
Let's just do...
This day in movie line history.
This day in Pulp Fiction dialogue.
1912. This is a big one.
Everybody's fighting these guys.
The Italo-Turkish War. The Italian forces, they beat us to it, only because they were in a war. But they became the first to use airships in war as two dirigibles. Dirigibles?
Dirigible.
You say dirigible, I say dirigible.
Dirigible? I've never heard that. That's dirigibles. A novel pronunciation.
Well, they dropped bombs on the Turkish troops encamped at...
hey, listen, anybody dropping bombs on the Turks is okay with me.
Spoken like a real Armenian.
Damn right. Drop more.
Here's the thing. You know,
drop them from higher.
You know, Armand, in 1912, this is before...
Yeah, it's before
the Armenian genocide occurs.
Yeah, they hated us already.
So if the Italians would have done a better job,
well, I'm not gonna blame the Italians there. The Russians didn't help us much either.
But anyway, they dropped it from an altitude of 6,000 feet, pretty high by 1912 standards. And that's the first time airships, not airplanes, airships are used, dirigibles. Gotcha.
Cut
just
it
seeing
out.
If you're paying attention.
They're both comparable.
I think they're comparable.
Yeah, very
honest.
Good. I've taught you something.
All right. Who was born on this fine date, March the 6th? Oh, we got?
Well, I've got John of Gaunt. I don't know why you
didn't
put him at 1340.
1340.
This guy is
was
like,
he a slim guy?
No, actually. He's born in Ghent, which the English called Gaunt.
They called it Gaunt.
Question is, who was the father? You know, it may not have been the king. It may not have been Edward III. It may have been the butcher.
The butcher?
Yeah, in fact, that's what they call him, the butcher sometimes, the butcher's boy.
Oh.
Because it was kind of brooded about that he born from the wrong side of the sheets.
I saw a story the other day, one of those, it's a clickbait story, but Postman is credited with 1,300 children.
Wow, Postman?
Yeah.
I thought that's kind of old-fashioned. Now, don't you screw the UPS guy? Isn't that the one that gets laid all the time?
Oh, yeah. No, I know. There are certain offices, even in this building, where they line up when that UPS truck comes. Yeah.
Wow, I don't get that kind of
attention. No, we don't get that kind of attention.
Anyway, this guy we've talked about him. He's like the father of Henry IV directly, I believe, who was who lost his lands to Richard II. We've discussed that. Richard II was ineffectual and stupid. And Henry Bolingbroke, Henry IV, came back and took his lands back. And through, anyway, this is the father. This guy, through him and his mistress, Catherine Swinford, or the Beaufort chain, they're the ones that ruled Scotland for centuries.
Centuries, yes.
And his English, through Henry IV, ruled England. I mean,
they may
guy,
be ruling House Scotland of, again.
Yeah, well, I think they still do. He's the third son of Edward III, John of Gaunt.
As far as he knows.
Yeah, it could have been. Well, I'm sure there were others, but this
what's the point? What's the point of these monarch family trees? Because we know.
Well, yeah.
We know there's chinks in the armor almost at every turn.
Well, I guess, yeah. They all have their mistresses.
The only way to do it is to do it the Hebrew way.
Hebrew way?
They track lineage through the mom.
Oh.
Because that's indisputable.
Well. Anyway, John of Gaunt, this guy's pretty important. Breed Richard II by Shakespeare. He's the one that says this sceptered isle, this royal throne of kings, this demi-paradise, other seat of Mars. Great, great speech.
Good stuff.
John of Gaunt, that's his speech.
1475, Michelangelo is born. Happy birthday.
Hey, he's kind of stupid, wasn't he?
No.
He didn't know shit.
No,
yeah,
I got to tell you, what's your favorite work by?
Well, David, you know.
I got to—that's mine.
But then you know, the guy take a sledgehammer to his toe.
Yeah, I know
that was gratuitous.
That happened like not long after I had seen it.
Yeah. Well, apparently though, when they looked at the whatever, I guess ivory, is that what the statue's made?
No,
of?
It's marble. Like, it's marble. Like alabaster.
Okay,
marble.
Well, whatever. They discovered some things about it when they looked at the toe.
Ah.
So that was the guy did him a service, I guess.
Okay. I know they reattached it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, did they call you because you were a podiatrist?
Damn right.
Okay. But David, as amazing as the Sistine Chapel ceiling is.
Yeah. Well,
and
that
I
too.
Saw
the creation of
right.
Adam. That's pretty good stuff.
And
used to have a poster with that.
I saw it after they cleaned it up and the real vibrant colors were back. But David's remarkable.
Yeah, he painted it lying down, apparently.
On his back.
I wouldn't recommend seeing The Agony and the Ecstasy. Remember that one?
And the Pieta is also. Yeah.
Did you ever see that movie?
Yes.
Charlton Heston.
It's a long-winded
Well, just, you know what the review was.
When will you make a finish? When will this movie be
Rex
finished?
Rex Harrison is the Pope, Julius II.
Yeah.
Remember the reviews? All agony, no ecstasy.
No ecstasy. Yeah. It was rough.
Great review. Yeah.
It was rough.
Oof. Anyway, yeah.
16,
we need more Michelangelo.
1619.
He's buried at the Basilica of Santa Croce.
Santa Croce.
Right next to Galileo's there.
Oh, wow.
And Machiavelli. Yeah, you got some big, big hitters.
That's,
yeah, that's
heavy.
Yeah, you got the big, some big Italians in that place.
1619.
That's in Florence, by the way.
Cyrano de Bergerac is.
Yeah,
born.
Who actually existed? I don't know. I guess he did.
How big was
his,
okay?
His
how,
nose.
How big was it? Seriously,
probably bigger than my dick.
Really?
I think so. Yeah.
So average?
About 17, 18 inches. Yeah. Soft.
Yeah. He had a flaccid nose, is no, what you're no. saying. Now, who played? That's Jose Ferrer?
Jose Ferrer, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, won the Academy Award in 1950.
1950.
And the play was written by Edmond Rostand, Frenchman.
Boy, 1619. Yeah. I didn't realize it was...
His beloved Roxanne.
I thought he was more of an 18th century guy.
And apparently he was kind of a swashbuckler, you know, in real life. He was a swordsman and, you know, quick to take offense.
Huh?
You don't want to call Bugsy Siegel Bugsy, and you don't want to say something about Cyrano's nose, I guess.
How did he not get it lopped off?
What? How do you? I don't think they had rhinoplasty back then.
You don't need rhinoplasty. You just need a sharp sword.
Well, then that would probably lead to bleeding to death, especially if you're taking aspirin.
That's your true. Blood's
counts,
thin.
Yeah, platelet counts down.
Good thing Beyer wasn't around then. 1806, Elizabeth Barrett Browning.
And her dog, Flush.
And her dog, Flush. Yeah. I don't know that Flush was born on 1806,
no,
March 6th, but...
When she left home, she took Flush with her to marry... To marry Robert Browning. She married him. Flush didn't.
Yeah. 1885. I don't know this guy.
I love this guy.
My favorite author.
Good. I got him on my Kindle.
Ring Lardner.
Ringgold Lardner.
So the American journalist and author born in 1885.
Man, I love this guy. Read You Know Me. You'd love it. You Know Me, Al. It's about a major leaguer. And he says, hilarious.
Oh, I'd love that.
You Know Me, Al.
Okay.
Yeah, Ring Lardner.
Done.
And his son, now, not to be confused with Ring Lardner Jr., who was one of the Hollywood Ten and wrote MASH. Although,
no kidding.
Yeah, they gave him the screen, he got best screenplay for that.
Yeah.
Not like one word of his script was in it.
Yeah.
It was all, you know.
It's the thought that counts.
Yeah, so he gets the script.
With the
but
Academy.
He also wrote Woman of the Year, which is one of my favorite movies. First Spencer Tracy, Katharine Hepburn movie.
Damn.
But Ring Lardner is basically, he's a sports guy. He's a sports writer for the, I don't know, one of the, in fact, remember the movie Eight Men Out? I'm sure you've seen it.
Yeah.
Many times.
Yeah.
Remember the guys, I'm always blowing ball games. Remember the guy the singing that?
That's supposed to be Ring
That's
Lardner.
That's Ring Lardner.
Okay.
Yeah. Because he was a big White Sox fan.
So kind
fan.
Of a, who's the other guy? Grant Lynn Rice in mm-hmm. that time? Kind of a cohort of his?
Yeah. Well, they're all writers. Yeah, sports writers. Damon Runyon, same thing.
Damon started out
as a sports writer and then, you know, wrote. And he wrote these humorous pieces and somebody saw him. He's basically, I don't know what he's writing for. And he said, you know, this stuff's hilarious. Get it published, dummy. And he did. He's great. Remember Joey Brown, Alibi Ike? That's Ring Lardner, the movie, Alibi Ike and Elmer the
no.
Great.
Uh-uh.
Ring Lardner.
Does not. Okay. I got to look these up.
Great stuff.
So Ring Lardner books, folks.
Yeah,
take
man.
Armand's recommendation there. This Day in HistoryPodcast.com.
Got it on my Kindle.
Go to Amazon or try one out at audible.com as well. Just search Ring Lardner, Lardner. 1900. I don't know if you know this one, I'm asking you. Gina Signa. Does that ring a bell? Nope.
No.
Just a cool name. All right. Also in 1900, great American ball player, pitcher, Lefty Grove.
I think he's still got the record for most, I think he's got most years leading the league in ERA. It's like a 7 or something. He was throwing, speaking of aspirin, they always say he's throwing aspirin tablets.
Yeah, so small. Nobody
could hit him.
So small.
Yeah, Lefty
right.
Grove.
1906, Lou Costello born.
Lou Costello, Paterson, New Jersey. Made 36 movies with Abbott.
What a career.
And then won, I think, the 30-foot bride of Candy Rock without him. Yeah, you know, they got a big fight. They kind of hated each other. This guy was really, you know, his son, though, his little son was like a week short of being a year old and crawled out of his crib or whatever.
Oh, no.
Crawled in the pool and drowned.
Oh.
Yeah, really hit him hard. He wore a bracelet after that. He never took it off again. That was like in 46.
Oh, God, that's tragic.
Yeah, it really messed him up.
1923, this guy had a life. Boy, oh, boy. Yeah. You talk about
I'm surprised
just
so
show
long.
Up
yeah.
and
have
smile.
A few beers.
But Ed McMahon.
Pass an envelope to the great Karnak.
I got to say, the Karnak bit was phenomenal.
Yeah. Ed McMahon's phenomenal. Pretty funny.
What do you do? I sit on a couch. Yeah. I make quips. I say, here's Johnny.
Yeah.
And I do some commercials. And
nice life, man.
Get the publisher's clearinghouse. I get that sweepstakes. And yeah, that's it.
Oh, he had a good gig.
What a gig. It's hard to beat that gig.
But as a boozer, he lived a pretty long time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Do you ever see the episode? You ever see the one where he's clearly plastered?
Oh, on YouTube?
Circa 74, 75.
I'm sure it's on YouTube. I'll look it up.
And Johnny's trying to console him, and Ed's nearly in tears. Just, oh, yeah. I'm just saying, Johnny, that you'd be.
Yes, we're all a bit morose when we've had too much of the grape.
1926.
Boy. I don't know about this guy.
I read his book, Alan Greenspan.
Isn't he married to Connie Chung?
No, that's Dan Rather.
Well, who's he married? This guy's married to some big shot.
He's
married to that
Andrea,
dummy. Yeah.
Andrea Mitchell.
Ugh, yeah. What a dumbass.
Andrea Mitchell's smart. What are you talking about?
Her.
Why?
Oh,
socialist. She just reports the news.
Oh, yes. Completely unbiased, objective reporting.
God.
Anyway, Alan
sorry
Greenspan,
it doesn't fit your narrative.
Irrational exuberance. This guy's got a lot to answer for, if you ask me.
Well, Clinton kept his hands off of him because he is busy with hands on someone else.
Yeah, yeah. And he had his hands on Eric.
And he let Alan drive that Federal Reserve ship, and boy, they kicked the economy into high gear.
Wow, he's only 91, huh?
Yeah, he is only 91. 1927, Gordo Cooper, the engineer, pilot, and astronaut.
Not necessarily in that order.
No, not really. 1927, very same day, Gabriel Garcia Marquez, the Colombian journalist, author, and Nobel Prize laureate. May I recommend?
Never heard of him.
Oh, really?
No, I'm not a big.
Love in a Time in
Cholera. Oh, Love in the Time of Cholera. Yeah.
100 Years of Solitude.
Those are his biggies, and I have to say, I haven't read them.
A letter to, I forget, but it's something in all my melancholy horrors.
He only died a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Oh, he's big. Mm-hmm. He had a feud with the Peruvian Nobel laureate as well.
Who's a Peruvian?
Neruda?
No, he's Chilean.
Yosa.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Yargis Yosa.
Okay.
Who wrote?
What are they complaining about?
Oh, they had some.
What was their
some
spat. Bone of contention?
It was over sex.
Well, you know the South Americans; they're pretty passionate.
1936, Marion Barry. God
yeah.
love him.
Yeah, he's
your
a good
second
one.
Mayor of the District of Columbia.
Whew. You know, I don't mess so much. You know, the guy gets caught smoking crack and hitting on some quote model. And that doesn't mean anything. He gets reelected a few years, goes up the river, but they reelect him anyway.
We'll show you.
Yeah.
1937, Ivan Bosky? How do you say this
Bosky,
one?
Yeah.
I say it Bosky.
He's still alive, yeah.
1939, Cookie Rojas, great Cuban-American ball player. 1940, Willie Stargell.
Better.
Pop Stargell. He was my favorite growing up, one of my favorites. They'd say, do you want to go to a ball game? And I'd say, when is Pittsburgh here with Willie Stargell, and that's who I'd get to go see. Your compatriot, the Ocho Man, would always be going seeing the Reds.
Yeah.
I would go see the Pirates.
Yeah.
1946, David Gilmour of Pink Floyd fame. 1960, Sleepy Floyd.
Good name. I don't know.
Great name, Georgetown basketball.
Okay.
Had a good career. 1963, comedian D.L. Hughley. 1967, boy, this is a good-looking woman, Armand. Connie Britton came to fame on Spin City, then the wife of the head coach on Friday Night Lights, then Nashville.
Okay.
This is, you'd love her. 1972, Shaquille O'Neal.
Yep.
LSU, Los Angeles
Lakers.
Used to
have his shoe in our office, size 23.
Huge. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And 1979, one of the great, matter of fact, maybe the greatest of American goalkeepers, Tim Howard, was born.
I'm going to add a couple here. Valentina Tereshkova, we all know who she is.
No, who?
How many times I got the first woman in space, 1963?
That was her?
Yeah, 1937 she's born, and she was also the first civilian in space.
You know, those pictures.
She wasn't in the orange.
Those
wasn't in
pictures
the airport.
Of her in the capsule.
She's a great-looking gal.
I'd say they didn't do her any justice.
Well, they did. She's
maybe
ugly.
It was the television.
Yeah, she's not a good look. She looked. You're hard pressed to tell the difference between her and Laika. Okay. So anyway,
oh, that's brutal.
Yeah, that was unnecessary. But anyway, they beat us there, too.
For those of you scoring at home, Laika is the dog that the Russians sent to space.
Yes, Samoyed dog, yeah. Lewis Gilbert, 1920. Now, this guy, great director. You Only Live Twice. Moonraker.
Yeah.
What's the other? A Spy Who Loved Me. He directed all three of them.
Boy.
He was also supposed
Albert Broccoli loved this guy.
He was supposed to direct The Godfather.
What?
But yeah, they said, listen, the budget on the movie is $2 million or whatever. And he said, I think it can't be done for less than $7 million. And apparently, I don't know, they got rid of him. So Coppola directed it himself. And he was also supposed to direct Oliver somehow. And that won the, that won the Academy Award.
Yeah.
And somehow he got eased out of that one. So
poor guy.
He missed out on a couple of biggies there. And Dame Kiri Takanawa, one of my favorite sopranos from New Zealand.
Dame.
She's a dame.
No kidding.
Kiri Takanawa.
Okay. From New Zealand.
Yeah. I think she's Maori. I think she's a Maori.
She's a Maori?
I think she's got some in her, yeah.
All right. Back to the events.
But she got in trouble for a few years back. She said, Maoris are taking too much welfare. Get to work. They didn't like that. They didn't want to go to work.
How do you know?
Well,
have you spoken to a Maori?
No.
Have you ever done
Why would they get mad about that?
Have you ever lived in New Zealand?
No, but I have a friend that does.
And I have a...
On Facebook.
And I have a cousin who does.
Okay.
Dunedin.
Oh, I don't know where my...
South Island.
South Island. My friend, yeah.
All right. 1951, the trial of Ethel and Julius Rosenberg begins.
Doesn't end well for them.
Does not end well.
They're guilty, though. I think if they had admitted it, they would have been. They would not have been killed.
Would you have admitted it?
If I did it. They did it.
Would you have believed that you wouldn't have been killed?
Well, she got nothing to lose. You know you're going to get nailed anyway.
One way or the other.
Yeah, what do you got to lose?
Yeah, I did.
You can always recant. But anyway, her brother, David Greenglass, worked at Los Alamos. He's a machinist.
Yep.
And he's stealing information.
What'd they do to
passing
him?
Passing it on.
What'd they do to
him? He got 15 years, I think.
He got 15 years.
Yeah, well, because he was he complied.
He went states.
Yeah. He turned, baby.
He turned states. Okay.
Yeah, he's the Joe Valachi of Los Alamos.
I got it.
All right. So that's how you get it. Yeah, that's how you get away with shit. Mm. State's evidence. And then they passed it on to, what's his name? What was the guy's name? Harry Gold, who gave it to the Russians. He was a spy.
Gave it to the Russians. Bitch.
Klaus Fuchs was in on this shit, too. We hate him and the Cambridge Five.
Right.
But apparently, now the consensus is that this information helped the Russians get the atom bomb.
Yeah. I should say so. 1953, speaking of more Russians.
Georgi Malenkov.
Georgi.
Maximilianovich Malenkov.
Georgi Malenkov. He succeeds Joseph Stalin as
briefly as the
premier. Yeah, because Khrushchev is coming.
Khrushchev outwitted him a little
like
bit.
Like a freight train.
Malenkov wasn't a bad guy, though. A lot of the stuff that Gorbachev came up with in the 80s, Malenkov, he wanted, let's stop spending money on that. We're not going to fight the United States. He said this.
Right.
We're not going to take over the world.
He knew
let's give our people more consumer goods and, give them a little more freedom. And
after Stalin was gone.
Well, everything's cool.
He knew it was a house of cards, right?
That's how Khrushchev kind of got him, because he was one of Stalin's favorites.
Yeah.
He survived the purges.
Yeah.
Khrushchev said Stalin's a piece of shit.
Right.
And hence this guy is the asshole. Where there's shit, there's an asshole.
Makes you long for the days of Nikita Khrushchev, doesn't it?
Well, Khrushchev was... Hey, he gave Van Cliburn his prize, remember?
Yeah, that's true.
He's the best pianist.
Yeah.
Anyway, this guy, Malenkov, and then, after Stalin died, and they want to make sure, of course, we talked about that.
Well, they sent the cleaning lady to pronounce
him. Nobody really
want
to pronounce him dead,
yeah.
Except the char woman. And Carol Burnett and her her mop and bucket. So... this guy takes over, and Beria wanted to take over, and Lavrenti, my favorite Russian assassin, and this guy apparently he might have killed him himself, yeah. But I think it's Khrushchev did it. Never leave anyone else to put a bullet in a guy back of a guy's head.
No, right. And we'll come back to the Russians in a minute. 1964, the Nation of Islam, their leader Elijah Muhammad, he officially declares and he bestows upon the world champion of the heavyweight division, Muhammad Ali, that indeed name, Muhammad Ali, forever known as Muhammad Ali from that moment forward, okay. Rescinding his name, Cassius Clay.
Allah be praised.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Praised one, Ali?
I don't know what that means. Is that what it means? They're all named Ali or Muhammad.
No, that's Muhammad's the most popular name.
Yeah, but that's
Earth.
Ali's got a pretty good. I'll bet that's close
as far as
surnames, too.
1967, back to Stalin. His daughter, Svetlana, well, she defects to the United States.
I'm going to insist you pronounce her last name.
Hold on.
Alilueva.
I don't know how to do that Y in Russian.
Yueva. Alilueva.
Alilueva.
Yeah.
Man, that's a tough one. Never heard that Stalin's daughter defected to the U.S. That's amazing.
Yeah.
1975. Now, here is one that will really make you scratch your head. Because this, you can't even fathom that an event would happen and you would not watch replay after replay on the nightly news. Yet in 1963, when John Kennedy is assassinated, there is no replay of the events.
Well, I'd imagine they thought it was in poor taste to play that graphic depiction.
There wasn't a replay for years. In fact, for the first time ever in 1975.
When did they first put the film of Lincoln's assassination on the news?
Right around CGI coming in.
Oh, okay. I thought it was right around at the 1876.
Well, they had to recreate it back in the theatrical days. Okay. It's like the Bob Ford thing.
Yeah.
You know where they say Bob Ford recreated the killing of Jesse James more times than anything has ever been recreated on a stage?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of...
bastard.
Kind of like that. It was no coward.
Shot him in the back.
So the Zapruder film is not seen until 75, and it's shown in slow motion on national TV by Robert J. Gordon and Dick Gregory.
I think it's Grodin.
Grodin? I'm sorry, Grodin.
Yes.
So 1975 is the first time that the nation gets a look at this.
I don't know who wants to see it.
12 years later.
What?
Though I can remember the first time I saw it and thinking, oh, my God, they show this.
Yeah.
Because it's horrific. It's horrific. Even
I'd rather watch Ruby shoot, you know.
I still can't get over that one.
Well, like you know, to see my murders live.
The guy who's walking Oswald out.
Yeah,
he has such a weird look because he looks right at Ruby on film. Okay, and it's like, well, why aren't you doing something, idiot? You see a guy with a gun, but he said, there were so many television cameras down there that when they threw the lights on, it blinded all of us.
Doubt it, sure.
So Oswald, and I forget the Dallas Police Department guy's name. He has the sort of Texas Ranger hat on.
Yeah.
And the guy on the other side, they don't see Ruby approaching at all.
Is that on YouTube? I'd like to watch that again. That's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Remember the guy, my favorite of all time, I don't even know if there's, maybe I'll check it out on YouTube. Who was I think it was the Pennsylvania.
Oh, when he pulls that gun out of the envelope.
Stand back. That, and there's blood
That's
pouring
horrific.
Out of his mouth.
Now,
is that on YouTube?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, I got to watch that.
Because
my buddy had that on tape.
He's at a podium. He's addressing the press. He's answering questions.
He's like the treasurer or something, wasn't he?
He's caught up in a bit of a scandal.
Yeah.
And at the last, he goes, if there's no more questions, something like that.
He answered all the questions.
He goes under the podium and he pulls out a manila envelope.
Yeah, I remember that.
He pulls out a gun. And he says, now, if this scares or if it.
Stand back.
You know, stand back.
It's dangerous.
And they're saying, no, no. And he puts it right under his chin and shoots himself.
Yep.
On TV.
Yeah, my buddy had it recorded. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's the best one.
1981, after 19 years of presenting the evening news, Walter Cronkite says. Good night for the last time.
Yeah, thanks.
And in 19...
19- I've lost Cronkite. You know, I've lost Middle America. That's why LBJ apparently didn't run.
In 69? Yeah. Or 68, rather?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've lost Cronkite.
Right, 68. I don't know.
Yeah, because LBJ could have technically...
Yeah, he could have.
He could have been a...
Even under the 25th
basically
Amendment.
A three-termer, even though...
Yeah. Because 10 years, I think, is a limit. So if he takes over for a...
Oh, really? No,
yeah,
tell me about
years.
This. Okay, so...
You can do two full terms but not more than 10 years. So, like, if Kennedy had died in 61, then he'd only had one shot because he would have filled three years or whatever. But since he filled less than two years.
Since it was so late.
Right.
And because.
He was eligible for two more terms.
Because, of course, he runs in 64 against Goldwater.
So he's eligible again.
He could have been president all the way till 73.
Right.
Had he lived.
That's the deal.
Oh, I never knew that.
Well, I mean, he could, That he could have.
Interesting.
That's what the 25th says.
Yeah, interesting. Okay.
I wish they'd have limited Cronkite to 10 years.
And finally, in 1983,
these are seeing when Dan Rather got punched.
Yes.
I think that's on YouTube. We got some thugs down there, Dan. Punched him right.
God. Why does nothing like that happen on TV anymore?
That was fun.
Nothing.
Come on. Somebody punch somebody, will you?
Well, no, someone did punch someone the other day, and everyone got their panties in a bunch about it.
I know. Come on. Don't these people watch hockey?
1983, the United States Football League plays its first
game. They gave it
game.
A shot. They got a dollar, didn't they?
Well, no.
Was that the World Football?
No. They got
$3. That's right, $3. It's tripled. Yeah,
it's treble the damages in an antitrust case.
That's correct. And, $3. Boy, I remember that day.
This might have been the first sign that Donald Trump wasn't well appreciated, because a band of pirates, as the NFL owners are, and he starts a rival football league. And basically, when rival football leagues start, they usually wind up in some sort of court merger over antitrust.
Yeah.
The USFL had them dead to rights, too. They had the Harvard paper and everything. It was really a very interesting legal case.
And they're getting some pretty good players, too. Herschel Walker?
Trump signed Herschel Walker.
Yeah, he was
New Jersey
one.
Generals.
Didn't Flutie play for him, too?
Yes. Steve Young, LA Express. Jim Kelly, Houston Gamblers.
There's a trivia question.
There's a lot of good players.
Who's the only man to win Super Bowl, USFL,
and USFL,
World 2, and college, NCAA?
I have no clue.
I think it's Jack Pardee.
That makes a lot of sense, actually, yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
That's a great trivia question.
Yeah.
People listening, you proceed.
The USFL games were fun for what they were.
I used to watch them.
I remember a play in the Houston Gambler Chicago Blitz game where there was a Jim Kelly throws a pass. The pass is intercepted. The guy's returning the interception. He fumbles it. The Gamblers pick the ball back up, run it in for a touchdown. You really don't get to see that in high school
rugby
football.
Shit. Yeah.
Exactly.
I like it. Jack Pardee, American football linebacker and the only head coach to helm a team in college football. Oh, maybe he didn't win all these, but coached at helm.
Yeah.
Another coach.
So he did it in
coach a team in college, National Football League, USFL,
and
World Football League, and the Canadian Football League.
Oh, five leagues.
Wow.
Damn.
Five.
That's impressive.
Five leagues.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
I missed the USFL.
There's your trivia.
But the NFL owners, alas, they didn't want any part of Trump.
Yeah.
So what does that tell you?
They're prejudiced. That's right. Well, they don't recognize genius.
A big band of pirates doesn't even want another pirate.
Ooh.
That's all the
scathing remark.
The NFL,
I hope he's listening. I hope you paid your tax.
Good. I hope he tweets. Tweet about this show. Do us a favor.
F Tony.
Do us a favor, Mr. President. Oh, Tony and Armand. So sad.
He likes it. Yeah, that's right. Not me. I'm happy.
No, that's Ian's.
Go get him, Donald.
Ian's,
I know.
Tweets.
He's not sad at me.
Very, very sad.
Not me. You're sad.
Huh.
I'm gay.
Yeah, you are. You are a happy individual.
All right.
Who died?
Yeah, you left out a couple again, as usual.
So here's everyone of note who died at the Alamo.
No, everyone you think. Oh, okay. I thought you meant everyone of note.
James Bonham.
James Bonham's great-grandfather?
Yes, great-grandfather. Absolutely.
He did the drumming.
He was drumming like the Dickens.
Yeah, he was drummed out.
James Bowie?
Yeah.
Not
to be pronounced. Now, you know, I heard somebody pronounce David Bowie. Have you ever heard that?
Never heard that. First of all, his name's David Jones. But I will it is. They changed. You know why they changed his name? Because of Davy Jones.
Well,
of the
Davy
Monkees.
Jones. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. His name's David Jones.
Same reason Stuart Granger changed his name. His real name's James Stewart.
James Stewart.
It's taken already.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
I will say though, the English have a tendency to pronounce the entire first syllable that they can. For instance, we say Padova, Italy. They say Padova.
Oh, I like that better.
So I may, but my friends.
That's what's tough about Russian, though. Russian, you don't have any accents virtually at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like Elulueva. You know, I kind of put an accent on it, but I don't even know if they hit that. Elulueva. Yeah. Brothers Karamazov. Instead of Karamazov, we say Brothers Karamazov.
No wonder Kissinger talked like that.
Well, I don't know what he is.
Well, hey,
he got Angie Dickinson. He's the man. He's the man.
Davy Crockett and William B. Travis also
doing better than Greenspan.
Killed at the Alamo. 1888, Louisa.
Honorably. Tortured to death.
The American novelist and poet Louisa May Alcott passed
away. We've all read Little Women. I've never read Little Men, I have to say. I've never.
What's the other novel of note? Joe?
That must have been a sequel then.
Yeah.
Well, what were the names?
Well, Joe is
Joe.
Little, yeah.
Beth.
Oh, you got me. I can't name the little
one. Oh, man.
That's a good trivia question.
Yeah, there's
though.
Four of them. There's Meg. Amy.
I'm not even going to look that up.
That's a four, yeah.
I'm not even going to look it up. I'm just going to assume you're right. 1888. That's when that happened. 1932, John Philip Sousa passes
away.
Won't
be Christmas without presents.
That's true.
It wouldn't.
1935, Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr. passes away. 1973, Pearl S. Buck.
What's the S stand for? Good luck. Siddenstricker. Yeah. Pearl Siddenstricker Buck.
Oh.
Read The Good Earth.
Well, that Good Earth, man, that's a hard read, boy.
Well, yeah. Just see the movie. It's much better.
There's two things. When they hand you Of Mice and Men and The Good Earth in high school.
Yeah, I take Of Mice and Men. It's only about 115.
But they're both gut wrenchers.
Well, she lived in China and she got the real deal there.
Ugh.
But see the movie. The movie's excellent.
1986.
Irving Thalberg's last production. Yeah.
Okay. 1986, Georgia O'Keeffe
passes away. To what's his name? Stiglitz, right?
Hugo Stiglitz from the Inglorious Bastards?
No, the photographer.
Oh,
Alfred Stiglitz.
Alfred Stiglitz.
Yeah, he took a picture. You can see her tits and everything.
She would pose like that. Strong looking woman. Handsome woman, we might say.
On the desert.
I took my mom to a O'Keeffe exhibition at
a retrospective.
It was a retrospective. It was at the Tate Modern in London.
Yeah,
and it was a really interesting one because
I like her stuff.
It walks.
She likes Skulls on the Desert.
It walks. Yeah, and that's kind of the end of her career. But they walk you through everything, and so I saw a lot of her art that I'd never really seen before, especially cityscapes and things like that.
She had a nice rack.
Catching Modern.
Stiglitz's pictures of her.
Yeah, yeah. No, I.
Check them out, man.
Yeah, Stiglitz.
Check out
O'Keefe's
rack.
This guy.
Well, I'm trying to get the sex into it here.
Well, you
talked about football.
You don't need to. See,
yeah,
you
uneducated. It's good for the ratings.
You
uneducated
swine. If you look at one of these Georgia O'Keeffe flower paintings, there's sex all over it. The whole thing's about sex.
I prefer to see a photograph.
It's a huge picture of a vagina.
That's
what it is.
They do look, yeah.
No, they don't kind of. They do.
Well, only your dirty mind.
No, everyone.
Okay.
You walk in and you get presented with one of those huge, massive canvases, and you're like, wow.
Yeah, look at
that. That's a
rosebud.
Yes.
Rosebud.
2016.
Wow, I miss her.
The 42nd First Lady of the United States.
Nancy Davis.
She loved astrology, and it was
That's overplayed. She even.
Well, I'm going to overplay it some more. She loved astrology.
A myth.
A lot of the.
Who was her astrologer?
Heinz the Baron Krauss von Espy.
Joan Quigley.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I want her running the country.
Okay.
Better than Obama.
Do you think her and Frank had a little thing?
Oh, Kitty, what's her name?
Kitty Carlisle.
No, not Kitty Carlisle. Kitty Kelly.
Kitty Kelly.
The one that wrote all those trash. Read her book about Kennedy, man.
Oh, yeah.
Tears him apart.
Yeah, but what? She does.
But I don't know if it's true. Believe.
Let's go back. Yeah. Well, the Kennedy one is confirmed by the intern who's now in her 60s or early 70s.
It's pretty salacious.
Yeah. Because he gets caught in the White House swimming pool by Jackie.
And who are the two girls? Didn't he have like Bunny and Hoppy? I don't know what they were called. He had names for them.
God
and even the Secret
them.
Service. And then he'd go, hey, go blow that Secret Service guy.
Oh, Jesus.
Sure, Jack. Sure, Mr. President. All right, I got a few. As usual, you neglected a few.
All right.
Francis Beaumont. Beaumont and Fletcher. Read their plays.
Okay.
Not bad. Not bad stuff. Not exactly Shakespeare, but not bad. Margaret Dumont. How could you?
No,
I
missed that.
Dumb shit. 1965, Margaret Dumont, our favorite straight lady, the fifth Marx brother.
Do you think she died not realizing some of the jokes in these Marx brothers?
That's supposedly a myth, too, that, you know, she knew there was, she didn't know that it was funny. Groucho would say that, but, you know, like Harpo would jump on her back and, like, wrestle with her. It's not so rough, honey. Just drive her nuts. Yeah, they're pretty rough on Margaret Dumont. She was actually an opera singer. She started as an opera singer.
Oh, God.
Slapsy Maxie Rosenblum. light heavyweight champion of the world, and in several movies, including Each Dawn I Die, which is Cagney and George Raft.
Wow.
Slapsy Maxie. Had a pretty good career in Hollywood. Teresa Wright. Now, here's a trivia question.
Oh, yeah.
Only person to be nominated for an Academy Award for her first three films.
Damn.
Actor or actress. Well, and I can name them without even looking. Little Foxes, when she was Betty Davis's daughter.
Yep.
That's the scene that kept me from getting married.
Betty and Joan premiered last night.
Oh, is it any good?
I don't know. I'm going to watch
that
it tonight.
I will check that out. And then Pride of the Yankees. She was Lou Gehrig's wife.
Well, she was wonderful in
Best
that.
Best Actress nomination.
She was wonderful in that.
She wore the actual ring, apparently, that Mrs. Gehrig gave to her.
That's when you have to play understated to an already understated lead character. Not that Gary Cooper was understated, but the character of Lou Gehrig is certainly understated. She actually brought that film to life for
me.
She
did a good job. I liked her.
Some of the more memorable scenes in, Tanglefoot?
She tripped over the bath.
Yeah, she pulls those off so well.
Yeah, she's a good actor. Well, she's a good actress. In fact, she had like all these things in her contract because she knew she was a great actress.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm not going to pose in swimming suits and things like that. You know, the things that Hollywood stars always had to have
to do.
I'm not going to be fly fishing or flying a kite or whatever the hell that they made. Yeah, you know, everybody do these crazy.
Flying a kite.
Wearing shorts.
And bra and panties.
Yeah. Don't say panties. All right. And she won the Academy Award for.
Okay, so Pride of the Yankees was 40.
Yeah, same year.
One?
She was nominated. She was nominated for Best Actress. She won for Best Supporting in the same year.
Mildred Pierce.
You're close. That's 45.
Oh
no, Mrs. Miniver.
That's what I meant to say. Damn it.
Okay.
No, I knew it started with an M.
Greer Garson won
and
Best
Mrs.
Actress.
Miniver. Greer Garson, and she was the supporting.
Yeah. And Ayn Rand died today. We've talked about her.
Yeah.
We love her.
Well, you love her.
I sure do. Nelson Eddy, 1966.
Not ringing a bell.
You never saw Rosemarie and those movies with Jeanette McDonald?
No,
I
did not.
Oh, man, you haven't heard this story then.
No.
Nelson Eddy and Jeanette McDonald were like Hollywood lovers at the time. And they actually off-screen, they made Rosemarie and Naughty Marietta. They made, I think.
What kind of movies are these?
Musicals.
Oh.
Porn. Come on, musicals.
I don't know what the hell you're talking
about. This guy was the highest paid singer in the world for a while.
Okay.
So this guy's really got a great voice. And so they made 8 movies together, and Louis B. Mayer didn't want them to get married.
Why?
Well, because they thought, they were like kind of on again, off again, love-hate kind of relationship. And he figured if they got a divorce, it'd be bad for business. It's just business. So he married Jeanette McDonald, married Gene Raymond. Well, Gene Raymond was one of our LGBT friends. And he went around. He got arrested several times when they were raiding these homosexual bars and stuff.
Right.
So he got 2 birds with 1 stone. He covered that up, Louis B. Mayer. Anyway, Gene Raymond was kind of an abusive guy and apparently slapped Jeanette McDonald around. So
did she shoot him?
No, she called Nelson Eddy. He went over and beat the shit out of him.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, and then you know how it showed up in the press. Gene Raymond fell down a flight of stairs.
A lot of trouble with stairs.
Slipped on a bar of soap. A
lot of trouble in the bathrooms on the staircases of Beverly Hills.
He almost killed him. Yeah, Nelson Eddy beat the whole shit.
You better be careful. I mean, if you're going to take a bath and then walk down the stairs anywhere near Bel Air, California, I mean,
it happened.
You're on death's door.
Hey, they did.
If Howard Hughes doesn't fly an airplane right through your bedroom, the stairs are going to get you.
Oh, I forgot who that was. Rosemarie DeCamp. Yeah, that was. Anyway, so that Nelson Eddy didn't take any shit. He died in 1967.
Good for him.
And Hans Bethe, 2005.
Bethe.
See, you're giving short shrift to our physicist friends again.
Is he responsible for Bethe tape? Please say that he is.
No. But this is one of my favorite papers of all time. The Alfred Bethe Gamma paper. How do you like that?
Alfred.
Alpha, beta, gamma, right? So apparently they just stuck his name in there just because it sounded cool. And he said, okay, I'll take the credit for it.
What's the paper on? Is it on gamma?
It's on Big Bang Nucleosynthesis. What it basically said was, and it's wrong, that we talked about this, that it said that all the heavier elements came about during the Big Bang, which is not true. We know that's stellar nucleosynthesis. But what it did get right was that helium and hydrogen in the proper proportions at the Big Bang, which is 99% of the universe anyway.
It's
we know
helium
that.
And hydrogen.
Yeah, hydrogen, right. And so that was the Alfred. They just thought it sound cool to be like Alfred Bethe Gamma paper.
That's pretty good.
And he was like the conscience of the country after Oppenheimer died. Big nuclear power advocate.
Yes.
And he said, like, after Chernobyl, he said, listen, that's just communism failing, not nuclear power. Right, right on the money.
Right.
But he was against SDI. I don't agree with that one.
What's SDI?
Star Wars.
Oh, the Star Wars.
Strategic Defense Initiative.
Strategic Defense Initiative. And no, I'm all for SDIs.
Good for you.
And
not STIs.
Well, I'm
SDI,
I'm all for the SDIs. I'm just trying to stay away from the STIs.
Yes.
As much as I can.
But he was the conscience, you know, and he wrote a lot of paper. Very brilliant guy.
Oh, man. March 6th has been a good day in history, folks.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff.
Lots of good stuff.
You forgot Margaret Dumont. I'll never forgive you.
Well, I will go watch...
Watch Day at the Races.
I'll watch a Day at the Races tonight.
I think that's her best
Her honor.
Her, yeah, I think that's her best.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, the early scenes in Animal Crackers.
Well, you know, the reason I like... the bridge game is the funniest.
The bridge...
Probably the funniest of all.
No spades.
Yeah, no spades.
No spades, spades partner.
What, you got 100? 100? Go 200, huh? Yeah, you got all aces. So,
look, I have dealt in a card game the way that Harpo deals in the bridge game. And I've done your damn... I mean, people wanted to kick my ass.
Yeah, well... I'd kick your ass if you put your leg in my hand. But... The Day at the Race is my favorite because that's the one where he's actually hitting on her, but he's actually cheating on her too.
Oh, yeah.
with the other guy. Whatever. They try to catch a cheat. That was funny.
How does it go? He asks her two questions, and the second one is, are you rich?
Right, right.
Answer the second question
that's
first.
That's right, yeah. How did it go? I don't know. Something about, did he leave you any money or whatever?
Answer the second question
first. Yeah, answer the second question first. Are you married? Did he leave you any money or something like that? That was from Duck Soup. Yep. Give me a lock of your hair. I'm taking it easy. I could ask for the whole wig. All right.
That'll do it. That'll do it.
All right.
All right. For Armand, I'm Tony. For producers Brian and Andrew, when the 7th of March rolls around, we're going to be right here to tell you about it on lineupmedia.fm. And don't forget, subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, any major podcast outlet to thisdayinhistorypodcast.com. So long, everybody.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.